This is the Creative Sports Podcast.
My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Karina Anglada.
I think I froze just then, but I think I'm back.
And Darius Thomas.
Old habits die hard, right?
What's going on, everybody? This is Karina Anglada, and I am so excited. This is the 100th episode of the Sports Creative Podcast. And of course, we're celebrating Women's History Month, and not just this month, but all year round. We're going to get into another conversation with my Bay Area friend and incredible person, Serena Soriano. So let's get right into it.
All right, Karina?
Yes.
Let's do it.
All right, I'm at 10:06, 20, 21, because my time is exact.
All right, so we're going to go 34.
Why do I get so scared to clap every time?
Hey, it happens.
And I feel like I get more nervous about clapping on time via like the internet than anything else in life. Okay.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Garrett Wright. I want to start out with a big thank you to APM Music for donating the tracks we use on this podcast. Also, a reminder that this podcast is an extension of the sports creative community on Slack. So if you're hearing this and not a member of that community yet, you should head over to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
Hey, everyone. You're listening to the Creative Sports Podcast, and I am so excited to welcome today's guest, senior producer Serena Soriano, from the San Francisco 49ers. Serena, welcome to the Creative Sports Podcast.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be part of your guys' broadcast. I mean, this is such a really great opportunity for not only myself, but hopefully someone out there listens to something that I have to say and resonates with anything.
Awesome. I am so excited for this conversation. For those listening, Serena and I had the chance to meet actually last year. Not at a Niner game by chance. It was actually at a soccer game at Levi's Stadium. But I am so excited to share your journey with our listeners. And I feel like we have a lot of similarities. When I was doing some research on you, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like we're kindred spirits in a sense. But tell us about your start in sports. I know you really got into everything when you started in college, which is kind of like the tradition, but share how you got your start in sports.
Yeah, I mean, ever since I was three, like I've always been involved in sports. I played soccer since I was three or five. Around that time is when I started. And I played all the way middle school, high school, and college. And actually back then, I remember watching the San Francisco 49ers games with my dad almost every Sunday when I wasn't, you know, playing soccer or away at a tournament. And back then I actually thought that I wanted to be a sports reporter. You know, I saw Michelle Tafoya on my screen and I was like, that's so cool, like a Latina like talking about sports, and she's on this huge like broadcast, like that's definitely, I love to talk, like I could totally do that. Little did I know though too, like in high school I would film almost anything and everything, like my daily life or my friends. I did a lot of videos with my family actually, just to make people laugh. Like I don't know, like I love how video, you can capture a moment and just like see the emotions from like your audience's face when they watch it. So knowing that, I went into college, like I said, going in to be a sports reporter, but I did a lot of classes on production, and Premiere Pro was something that I used constantly. And getting into the business, I knew once, so I graduated and I actually saw an opportunity on Teamwork Online, and it was for the Denise DeBartolo York Fellowship, which was a program offering female graduate students an opportunity to work for the San Francisco 49ers for a year, and they would put women in six different departments where women were underrepresented. So I just thought that Amazing. Was the coolest thing that I ever saw. I mean, wow, like business analytics, sales, finance, 49ers studios was also one of the rotations at the time, business ops as well. So I did a year as the Denise DeBartolo York Fellow, and I learned so much about the business and what exactly everyone does and how we're all so cohesive and how it comes together to really elevate, you know, this really special brand. And luckily, like 1 year later, after it was over, 49ers Studios hired me as an associate producer. So it was really special because like right away I knew when I was in that rotation, I was like, I want to be here. You know, I absolutely love filming and shooting and working with athletes and helping them tell their story. So 7 years later, this is my seventh season with the team and now I'm a senior producer. So that's a long-winded long-winded version of my journey, but it's truly awesome to be able to do what I love and work for the team that I grew up cheering on for. So
that is incredible. I'm like thrilled for you just because I feel like that is such a special story to have been, you know, the hometown kid in a way.
Yeah.
And truly like a dream fulfilled in so many ways. And also right. Let's talk about this fellowship because that's incredible. And I feel like, you know, a common question I get all the time is like, oh, like, what's it like being a woman in sports? And, you know, it feels tired at this point sometimes. But what was that experience like knowing that, you know, you had an opportunity that was like almost curated for you and being able to, you know, delve into all of these different pieces of the business? What was that experience like?
Yeah, I mean, I think first off, I have to say this was all the way back in 2016. And it's just crazy that a position like that was available and even thought of and fleshed out. So like right away, I was like, I want this because like maybe like I will be in a different department and I'll actually love that one. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm always open to new opportunities and new experiences. So I was so blessed to have been chosen, you know, out of all these women that applied for the position. And it honestly was super challenging because I have a very creative mindset. So some of the departments like finance and business strategy analytics, not gonna lie, they were outside of my realm of a little bit of knowledge, you know.
Sure.
But it was still really cool to work with a lot of men and people in power who genuinely wanted to see me succeed and answer my questions. Because I think that's also important. You know, you're very intimidated when you get out of college and you're in this space where nobody looks like you, right? So
I
like to shout out like the people that have been with me from the very start. One of my coworkers, Nick Shabetta, we were both interns together and now we're both senior producers together. So just having people in your corner that, you know, are maybe like that's what you think that people should look like when they're in this position or whatever, at least that was like the protocol or the base. Having them like stick up for you and sharing knowledge is so important to any young woman. So shout out to the men who constantly strive to like make space for people who look like you and I.
All day. Preach. First of all, I'm like all the snaps, all the claps. I feel like that is one of the things, you know, I've had a lot of men as my supervisors, right? They're the ones that are in hiring positions. And some of my biggest champions have been men, right? And I, to this day, like when I was an intern in college, I still stay in touch with, you know, the team that hired me when I didn't know anything about video production and was learning how to edit and learning how to shoot and all of those things. And I know you have your hands as senior producer in quite a few different things. Share with us a little bit about what your team does. And I feel like you are known as somebody who is like a shooter getting the shot always. But what do you enjoy most about your role with the 49ers?
Yeah. So first and foremost, 49ers Studios, we are an in-house production team of seven. And a lot of people don't know what that means, really. So we definitely do shoot for the team. So game days, practices, and we create everything that you see on social media, shooting and editing wise. But we're also a video team for the business as well. So we're out there shooting, you know, community events. We're out there helping sales. We're editing reels for them. We're out working with corporate partnerships and we're going to golf tournaments. You know, honestly, everything and anything that has to do with video production and all of that, that is what my particular department works on. And we happen to be part of our marketing department as well, obviously. Me, myself, I think that I absolutely love to film. I feel like you can't get the camera out of my hand. Even right now it's off season and I'm constantly looking for freelance work too, because I just truly love, like I said, creating stories. And I think I have a really great eye for certain things. So yeah. I just love to create and put myself out there. I feel like I'm expressing myself when I create. So I do love filming. I do love editing.
That's amazing. It's interesting because I feel like you mentioned when you were a kid, like always kind of filming things and running around with a camera. And, you know, it wasn't until I got older that I realized I did the same thing. Like I always had, and not film cameras, but like, you know, well, actually film cameras, right? Like the little ones that everybody had at weddings back in the day on family trips. Like I was always the one taking photos, and I realized it wasn't until I got older that I was like, wow, I always loved capturing moments. And it's like, I think a lot of times people forget that like what you're naturally interested in or where you're naturally just inclined to and the things that you are consuming and watching, like we can pay attention to those because those can inform you know, where our journeys go. But I love that. And I feel like let's celebrate you a little bit because I think with, you know, you said something, you're like, I think I have a good eye. I think that's one thing as women, you know, it's really hard for me to kind of like brag and, you know, show off my work because you don't want to be seen as a braggart or cocky or whatever it might be. But I feel like as I grew in my career, and I still have trouble with it, I've been able to kind of push through that and be like, I am that girl. I am that woman. I'm curious, have you experienced that like imposter syndrome throughout your career? And do you feel like you're at a point now where you're like, yeah, I'm feeling myself. Yeah, I got the confidence. Or has it always kind of been that way for you?
That's so funny that you said that because like I did stumble on saying like, I think I have a good eye, and it's, I embrace and I own my confidence and I'm so confident in my work as well. But you're right. Like I feel a lot of times like as women, like maybe we come across as like a bit more braggy or just maybe a little bit more negative than how a man would come across his work, you know? Mm-hmm. So I do struggle with that even in my seventh season with the team, but like, I know what I bring to the table and that's so important. Not only do I film and shoot, but I also am head of the content for our Spanish division. So I've hired an international producer that also helps me create all of our Spanish content that you can see in our Spanish social media channels. I handle Spanish talent. I have honestly, not just me, but I've helped raise and I've watched our Spanish broadcast grow from the very conception of it. So I'm so proud of that. Me, like a 21-year-old coming out of college, and I was asked, hey, can you build a broadcast, a radio broadcast? And me, I was like, I'm not really sure a lot about radio, but just learning by doing and making all these connections, like that is something that I'm so proud of. And honestly, like just my Spanish team as a whole, like we had a game in Mexico actually this year too. And to see like all of our hard work and everything that we've done to help build and help grow our social media channels is honestly really special and cool. And we really think that we're impacting, you know, our Spanish audiences and providing them a way for them to feel, you know, a part of the team, even though they're so far away. So you're absolutely right. Like women should be more confident. Like I know what I bring to the table. And I think that's honestly a little advice that I would give to women. And it's something that I still deal with today.
I love that. I am so happy to hear all of this, especially as a Latina myself, hearing you like just thrive in your career and like true growth within your position, which I think is kind of rare in sports. A lot of people feel the need to, you know, jump from one team to another. So I am like, I am very orgullosa de ti. Like I'm so proud of you. And that's amazing. And I know we got Darius in the room, and you mentioned you love getting the shot, and we got Gearhead Darius here too. So of course we got to talk gear. I had to do it. But tell us about your setup, your game day setup. What's a day in the life of a Niner game day for you?
Oh my gosh. So it's super intense, but honestly, so rewarding and honestly a really cool experience. Darius, you'd appreciate as an in-house production team, they actually have a lot of cameras for us to use. We just actually got this year, I think it's 3 or 4 Aries that we have. And honestly, those are probably like my favorite cameras that we've ever used to date. We used to shoot with FD5s. We have an FS7. We obviously use DSLRs as well, just to get like maybe arrivals or travel videos and photos like that. So we have 2 A7S3s as well. But my baby is the Aerie. I absolutely love to shoot with that. Game days, we're here at least 5 or 6 hours before kickoff, and we're getting all our gear set up. We're micing up the pads. We're setting up GoPros in our Spanish radio booth. We're making sure the Spanish broadcast is all set and ready to be heard on app and website. And then we're pushing our cart over, and then we're filming, you know, them warming up. We're shooting and filming a pregame while that's happening. People are editing for social media or arrival edits. And then like the best part about that is the actual game action. And because we're lucky enough to have about 5 people on the field, we have people dedicated to our bench sound, you know, holding the boom, holding the camera. We have people dedicated to our cutaway cameras. We have people dedicated to just highlights. So, and then we have people dedicated to the miking. Whoever's mic'd up, we have someone on our top angle and someone on our ground angle. So game days are honestly so crazy. And then if when we're working way past the actual game ending too, about like 3 or 4 hours, putting out as much content as we can, making sure that we're filming, you know, our team speech in the locker room after. So it's super hectic, but like fans love to see all of that content. And like I said, super worth it because I happen to be a Niner fan too. So wins are extra special.
I love that. I love it.
We could talk gear all day. but I'll take it back a little bit because it's a few interesting things that you talked about. Maybe before we started recording is when you wanted to be on camera at first. Mm-hmm. And if I look at the math correctly, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, you know, a lot of young ladies wanted to get in the industry, and that was a path that they saw, whether it was Maria Taylor or, you know, Michelle Tafoya, or, I mean, you saw that on television, but you rarely saw women with cameras in their hands. And looking at, you know, your social, your LinkedIn, any of that, you're walking around with this Amira setup. And it's like, I love it because I've worked with women in the field before or seen other women. And I don't know if it's a just what people who are around them saying, oh, well, maybe she needs this. Or if it was like, oh, give me the small camera. But talk about when you walk in the stadium with a camera set up like you have, being, like a big shot with this camera. Is like, hey, I'm with, quote unquote, the big boys now because I'm doing this. Talk about that confidence that you just walk with on a day-to-day going into game days, knowing that you belong where you are.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many directions I can go. And I think first and foremost, I think that's why I wanted to be a Spanish reporter or a reporter at first, is because that's only what I saw on camera, what women can do in sports. I had no idea that we could, you know, be video ops or camera ops, you know. So when I hold that camera, I do hold it with pride because I'm a 5'3 Latina, you know, like people look at me and they could be discouraging sometimes. I think one of the hardest comments that I've had to process and go through is a lot of people are like, you're too pretty to be holding that camera. You know, you have a face to be on camera. I feel like a lot of my career, I had people tell me what I should be based on the way I look. And like me, I'm always going to do me. So I've always had a chip on my shoulder as well. So when I'm holding that camera and I'm shooting and I'm filming, even editing, like, I know that I have to be, and this is all women in general, I know that I have to be twice as good as the guy next to me. Yeah, I'm shorter. Like I have to like find a way to get into that skirmish. I have to find a way to like own that shot and make it look different than like my counterparts, you know? And starting off, it was intimidating. That camera is absolutely heavy. Even our guys will say that it's heavy, you know? It's about 35 pounds on my shoulder for the whole game day. Not just 4 hours, from 5 hours from when I start all the way to when we end. But seeing my work and the product that comes out of it, honestly, is just so fulfilling. And I truly do appreciate in myself that it's a physical job, you know, 100% physical job, and I'm out there and I'm owning it. And also, I think the content that I create speaks volumes for itself as well. You know, women can do this job 100% as well. So you definitely have to own and you definitely have to own your confidence is what I'm trying to say, even when you're holding this, because people will look at you and try to put you in this box always just based on the way you look. And I'm proud that I stuck with my guns and did exactly what I've always wanted to do.
That resonates with me because, you know, working with the Warriors and capturing those moments, I feel like the camera almost became, I don't want to say a crutch, but it gave me that extra level of like, it gave people like trust. Like they're like, oh, she's carrying a big camera, so I guess she's supposed to be here. Like where else yeah. would I, you know, get a camera that size? And so for me, I found that it almost helped me in a lot of situations because if I didn't have it, I would either get stopped and people would say, let me see your credential. And I'm like, yo, I'm with the team. So yeah, in a way, yeah. it's so interesting how just like perception, like you even mentioned, right? People see you and they assume something about your abilities and your skill set. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's a common challenge that a lot of us women have to deal with. It's like, what do we deal with based on what we physically look like, which is right. you know, unfortunately the nature of the beast. Mm-hmm. But I love that you stand in your truth. And like I said, it's so cool to see another woman and to see more and more women, you know, shooting in the industry. I think it's incredible, and it indicates the growth that's happening. There's still a right. lot of work to be done, but
100%.
I think it shows a lot.
And I see that growth, you know, like even from when I started, I truly, maybe there was one other woman who worked for the NFL. I believe her name is Hannah, NFL Films. And she was like the only girl that I saw, woman that I saw doing this, and everyone else around me, you know, white and male. So it's very scary, but seeing yeah. it today, how far the sport and the interest in videography has grown is honestly so cool. I see so many LCCs that are women now. I see women holding giant cinema cameras. Like, that's so cool. And we're only going to go forward. And I'm so happy about that.
So you talk about how we've gotten better or improved in a sense of more women on the sidelines, more mm-hmm. minority women on the sideline, more minorities on the sidelines. How happy are you to see that? And I know that, you know, we're obviously not where we can be or mm-hmm. as some people say, where we should be. Yeah. But sometimes do you sit in that reflection and say, wow, from 7 years ago, this is where we were to now, whether it's from the Spanish broadcast or representation on the sidelines for your team or visiting teams, mm-hmm. what does that look like for you?
I think one of the biggest times, my most memorable moments when I was like, wow, like I have made it to where I think I should have been. Like I own this space, like I am meant to be here. And that was in 2019, shooting my very first Super Bowl. Once again, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure the only Latina at the time holding a giant cinema camera on the sidelines, on the field. And I remember being there 5 or 6 hours early, looking at the field and just like having a moment to myself, because it still like kind of brings me like shivers, because I'm just mm-hmm. like, not only is this like the team of my family, of my grandfather, of my dad, and this is how we all connect, but it's mm-hmm. like so many people thought that I should be doing something else. And I'm here doing what I love on the biggest stage in sports. I'll never forget that moment. I think this year as well was a big moment. I think just when we made our very first playoff game, maybe against the Seahawks, or maybe even when we played Dallas, seeing so many women on the field, just taking a moment to just look at all of the women who were photographers and videographers. And I remember it not being like that at all. I just was like, no matter what the outcome is, like, there are women right now following their dreams in this very heavily male dominated sport and industry. And that's something like no one can take that away from us. We're all winners in this space. And a lot of women younger women who just starting out, I do try to mentor them and let them know how I felt and maybe ways that they could progress in their career. And I'm proud of those women too.
I love that. And I'm curious, when you're shooting, do you feel like sometimes you have like tunnel vision? Because I feel like sometimes when I'm filming and I'm like, or moving from place to place, right, as I'm shooting, I'm like, I'm focused, like I am locked in. Like people sometimes will say, oh, I saw you, or I was waving hi, and I'm like, I'm in work mode. I'm just like locked in. Do you feel like you kind of zone out sometimes, like in those moments, Or yeah. Are you like, are you still kind of aware and like, you know, feeling everything around you?
I totally feel how you feel. And I try my best to like wave back to people and say hi. My parents are always at every game. So aww. I'm like, hey mom, hey dad. I try to make sure to say to them at least. But no, game days are 100% our game days as well. You know, this is a chance for us mm-hmm. to create and to shoot content that only happens, you know, every Sunday or not a lot of teams make it in the playoffs, you know? So it's like, you want to be your best, you want to put your best foot forward and shoot like you've never shot before. So I think that's really cool. Something that my team does is we all say like good luck to each other as if we're playing and we know we're not playing, but truly like game days, I'm locked in. We're all locked in. We're like, let's have the best day ever today. Let's shoot our best today. Cause you never know when we won't have this.
So you grew up in the Bay Area, grew up a 49er fan. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about pressure. How much mm-hmm. pressure is it working for your hometown team? And how much of that is self-inflicted pressure? And how much of that is just, you know, obviously you want to win every game. But when you cover, whether it's the school you went to or the mm-hmm. team that you grew up a huge fan, how much of that pressure do you deal with week in and week out?
So I definitely bring pressure on myself to perform. Mm-hmm. Like I told Karina, I swear I feel a lot of times that I have to be twice as good, you know, as my counterparts. Yeah. Like I can't mess up like they mess up because I feel like people really are looking at every single thing that I do. So I need mm-hmm. to make sure to like be on point and on my game. But in regards to the team and pressure like that, you know, I control what I control. Being a Niner fan, like I said before, we went to the Super Bowl in 2019, like dealt with a lot of losses. And I've dealt that with my family. And so if anything, it's my family doesn't pressure me either. If anything, it's like, we're so proud of you that you're here and that you made it this far. Like you built this, like, this is something that you wholeheartedly wanted to do. We didn't push you at all. And from that, I'm like, I feel no pressure from that aspect. Obviously doing my job, I do, but in regards to the team, I'm just out there living my best life.
I love it. I have a question. Do your parents fully understand what you do? Because I feel like this is a common theme that a lot of creatives have. It's like explaining your job to your parents. And it's like, they might understand, right? Like, oh yeah, she films. Like, I feel like that's like, it makes sense to a lot of people, but not fully understanding like what producing means and like what editing and all the things that go into it. Do your parents like have a good grasp on your job? Because I know mine still don't.
I love them to death. I still don't think they know exactly like what I do. Like I'm not just a videographer. Sometimes I remember back in the day, my mom's like, oh yeah, she takes the photos. I'm like, no mom, that's a different job entirely. It's really cool though, seeing their faces on game day. And I do share a lot of my art with them too. And I think just knowing that I'm creating for like their favorite team, like we can see eye to eye on that. But I think especially with minority parents, sometimes like you don't truly mm-hmm. understand the power of social media or what you're doing to create someone's brand or elevate it or grow it, you know? So
yeah,
I don't think they fully understand, but that's okay because they're still proud of me.
I love it. That actually reminds me, my parents are not on social media, but the last time I was home, I found out my mom had accidentally somehow created a Facebook page. And I'm like, what is going on here? Like the social media world has infiltrated everyone, including my, you know, my mom.
Oh yeah. My mom's a huge Facebook mom. She's a huge Facebook mom.
I love it. But on that note, you have an incredible social media presence across platforms. What goes into that? Like, naturally you're a creative and you're creating content for teams, mm-hmm. but it seems like you're also creating it for yourself. What is the reason behind that? And like, do you have, you know, pressure or added excitement? Is it kind of like a way for you to, you know, showcase your creativity in a different way? Like, your social presence is like next level.
Oh, thank you. Well, I still think that's funny that you said that because I think I'm still growing in this space 100% on Instagram, all the channels, to be honest. But I'll start with TikTok because I think that was like the most crazy one for me. Mm-hmm. I started back in 2020 and honestly, it was during the pandemic and I just wanted to be active a little bit. So I started to dance And I guess two of those videos went viral. And then I was like, okay, like I'm not really a dancer though. I'm just out here having fun. What if I just showed people some of my shots from like the Super Bowl, or I showed people like my favorite shots like of the season. And that was the first video that truly went viral, me saying like, this is my job as a producer for the Niners. That one got 1.3 million views. And from there, my account honestly skyrocketed to, at least in my opinion, it skyrocketed because I was like 50K followers. Like, I don't even know truly what that means. Like, so like I said, I'm still growing. I didn't even think this was like an avenue that I could grow in, but I honestly think it is important because I would have thought that was so cool back in the day, like when I was in high school, if I were to see not only the personality of someone doing the job that I wanted to do, but just like more about their like daily life and what exactly it means to be a senior producer or a producer or a creator. Like I see so many people doing that more on TikTok, and it's just like, that's so cool to me. And to be able to visualize that, I think as a high schooler now, is like, wow, this is what that means. Like I could definitely do that. So this year I tried to be a little bit more consistent in my posts, and I've gotten positive feedback. So it's just me being me and owning that, and then also sharing my craft, and that's videos and that's the photos that I take too. And I'm going to continue to do that because, like I said, I just love to create and I love sharing that with the world. And if people say they like that, then I'm going to still do it. It has been cool.
Yeah. And I think an unintended consequence is like, you know, the representation factor that you touched on, right? Like that is, that is huge, especially for young people, that I think there's still that mentality that, oh, if I want to work in sports, I have to be on air. I have to be on air talent, or
100%
get to work at ESPN. So you are doing way more than just sharing about your day-to-day journey with the Niners. Like you're really driving, you know, further representation in the industry. And so shout out to you for that.
Thank you.
I love that. And I think you mentioned another thing that I loved hearing is like, you know, you're going to do you. I think sometimes as women, and it's tough to be yourself. At least that's how I felt early on in my career. I was like, oh, I can't be too bubbly when I'm, you know, I can't be myself, right? Like you feel like you have to be like super buttoned up, or at least that's how I felt. And there is something to be said. Like I wouldn't go back and change anything, because I think that every decision we make, everything that we've done in our past sets us up for the future. But at the same time, I wish I didn't have to go through that and feel like, oh, you know, kind of hold back on my
own
self. So have you ever felt like you had to like hold back? Maybe that was early in your career or to now. What has that been like?
I mean, absolutely. Especially just, you know, being a Latina and a woman, you don't want people to perceive negative things about you. So I do think early in my career, I wasn't showing as much as my personality. You know, I remember being very intimidated, you know, coming into work and being a little bit more quiet, which is the opposite of who I am. And you could ask my parents that. They're like, what? you've always been like this. So definitely early on my career. And that's one of the pieces of advice that I still share with women today, is to be 100% authentic to who you are. You bring such a different perspective to the table that I think now, especially business owners, C-level executives are truly finding that, hey, that's actually really great, you know, just not only for the culture of our business, but for our brand in general. Like we want people that are from different ways of life and backgrounds. And so I say to women nowadays is 100, even back then, to 100% be yourself and own it. And make sure that you want to learn and make sure to be adaptable in this space, because that's exactly what I would have told me back in the day. You know, you'll go far by just being who you are, who you're meant to be.
What do you enjoy most from whether it's game day, whether it's what you post on social? What aspects of the job do you sincerely just say, this is my thing and this is like what I'm 1,000% really, really good at?
I absolutely love game days. Don't get me wrong. Like they are the, like that's like Sunday football or Thursday football, whatever. Like absolutely love to create for that. But I truly feel in the moments where I'm like, this is what I was meant to do, is when I do off-season features with some of our players, going back to their hometowns and showing who they were as people. Because I truly think, like, at the end of the day, like, we're all equal, right? And it's so cool to see maybe your favorite player start from such humble beginnings, and they just had a dream just like you, you know. And if your favorite player can go through all these ups and downs, and if I can show that, you know, in a tasteful way, in the way that they want their story to be told, like, I think that I've done something. I'm like, yeah, I think I was meant to do this. And especially I get that as well when people are like, you know, I really felt something from that piece. I'm like, that's all I want to do. All I want to do is create and to connect people from all different aspects of life. And because at the end of the day, we're human. I want to show the resiliency and the beauty of the human spirit. I think that's my main goal in those features that I create.
What or how do you aim to inspire other people, whether it's through your work or through who you are? You know, we talk about representation, but, like, do you think about that a whole lot, of how you can further inspire people? Or is it just, like, an innate, like, natural thing that just happens?
I think for most of my career, it was through my art. I want to inspire people, you know. Like I said, I want them to feel something after watching that. And I want it to be positive or negative, but I just want them to feel something from that piece. I think though now, you know, as my seventh season in the league, I want to inspire people too by just who I am. You know, like, I'm from Eastside San Jose. I went to the East Coast to play soccer, and then I found my way back home getting to do this for my favorite team. And there was a lot, like I said, a lot of people told me I should be doing something else because I look this way or whatever. And I hope people are inspired when they hear about my story or they see me. It's like, no, she stayed true to who she was. And she always was authentic to her dream and who she thought she was. And I really am living out my dream, and I'm excited to see, like, where I go in the future. But I'll always be trying to be myself and creating and hopefully working with athletes, because I do love that.
I'll chime in on that too, because I feel like, especially as a Latina young woman, when I was working with the Warriors, you know, and the Pistons, and even with Auburn, I felt like, you know, because a lot of people weren't, it was unusual to see someone like you or I in that position.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I did feel like at times I had an extra weight on my shoulders, you know, and like I have to carry myself, you know, a certain way. But one of the things that I always thought about was like my abuelas, like my grandmas, and how their journey in life was just so vastly different than mine. Mm-hmm. Some days, like, I would be able to take a step back, not all the time, because, you know, it's a hustle and a grind most days. But, you know, some days I would be able to look back and be like, wow, you know, I'm capturing NBA history. I am helping tell stories for one of the most iconic sports brands in the world. And, like, this is something that, you know, my ancestors could only dream of. And I think that centered me a lot of times. I think now, even now in my new position with Adobe, it's brand new. I'm in a career pivot of sorts. And I feel like, oh my gosh, like I have to prove myself in certain ways, not just for me, not just for the people that I work with, but almost like my family lineage. And I feel like you mentioned it before, right? Like coming from, you know, our certain backgrounds, there's like that added pressure. So I'm curious if you, do you ever feel that way too? Are you thinking, I know you mentioned your parents quite a bit, but are you thinking about like the history of your family's journey and just like all of the incredible things that you're doing now? Like, does the success hit you in the way that, you know, I think it should?
Absolutely. That's so funny that you said that, because I resonate so much with that. Like just talking about ancestors, one of my favorite quotes is from Naomi Osaka, and it goes something like this. It's, every time I'm reminded of my ancestors, I know that I cannot lose. And it's like, I step on that field and I'm holding this camera. And it's like, not only do I know that I'm meant to be here, but it's like, I got my ancestors behind me and they're like, we never thought that we could be there. So it's like, there's an added, not pressure, but there's an added like, own this space, you know? And I just think that's so beautiful, especially I'm a second generation Latina. Just being here and my grandma, like you said, like sometimes I think about our grandparents' struggles, and that's something that I have never, ever experienced. And I'm not downplaying our own struggles, but it's like, if my grandma, you know, can come across the river, can come from Mexico and start a whole new life and, you know, learn English, be a citizen of the United States, take that test. Like, I can do this. I can totally do this. So I'm really proud of us. I mean, we're all minorities like in this space right now. Like, that's so cool to see. And it's only going to grow with time. That's awesome.
Absolutely. So, I mean, obviously the industry has improved, made some improvements. We noted that earlier. What are some other ways that we can make steps forward and different strides to continue the growth of not only just, you know, improving the number of minorities, but just diversifying our staffs, our representation, and not just for representation's sake, but to actually improve what we're doing? And what's the advantage of doing that?
Well, once again, I think the advantage, there's so many advantages of having a diverse workplace, obviously, because your consumers are all different, right? Like I said, from the very beginning, you bring such a different perspective to the table. And nowadays, so many CMOs and business owners, they realize that their clients look like us, you know, like we want to share the stories of these diverse athletes as well. Like, how cool is that to say? Not only are we minorities, but we're sharing a lot of minority stories. You know, I think that's just a different, we bring a different way and perspective into telling someone's story that way. That's at least what I think. But also, not only is it important to have a diverse workspace, but you need to also be able to provide the resources to your minority employees. You need to give opportunities for your minority employees to spearhead big projects. You know, that's great that you have minority workers, but how many of those minority workers are you promoting? How many of those minority employees have the resources available to them to be able to take on bigger projects? How many are senior producers? You know what I'm saying? So it's great to have a diverse background, but even like for me, I like to look at companies and I'm like, how many minorities are in C-executive positions? I think that's so important. I think also just holding people accountable, holding coworkers accountable, making sure that everyone feels like they're in a space, a safe space, to be able to do what we love to do. You know, we're all here for a common goal, and it's obviously, at least for the 49ers and my coworkers, is because we love this team, and that's what connects us, our love for this sport and for this team, and that's the most important thing.
All right, we've talked about content creation and all of that and experience. Let's talk about the fun side of Serena to kind of set boundaries for yourself, or just to like kind of release yourself from the day-to-day grind. So you're obviously in California. What are some types of things that you like to do outside of just filming or, you know, doing photography or social media and all that?
Yeah, I mean, especially after like a long day of editing, like it does feel like you're physically and emotionally exhausted. You know, you're like, for me, I'm in a dark room with like surround sound. I've just been listening to the same song or the same voice for hours and hours and hours. So there are a lot of times where it's like, I got to get out. So a lot of things that I love to be active. So I play soccer like Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays. I love working out at the gym. I love to read. I love to listen to music. It's so cool, honestly, being from California, because I can go and head to the beach or I can go to the mountains. So this time now actually is great to go to like Tahoe and snowboard or something. But I think for me, my release is definitely an athletic type of thing of some sort. And I do think that I can be better at just relaxing and taking a moment. And I'm still learning that. I do love the working out. That'd probably be like the number one thing that I like to do is chill and watch sports. I love going to other sports games just to see, you know, how other people work and how their game day show is like. When I'm truly unplugged, though, I'm also just with family. I feel like in my family, it's, It's always somebody's birthday or it's an event. So it is really nice, especially out of season, to be able to actually go to those events and spend time with my grandparents and parents and cousins. So that's probably my favorite thing to do, is hang out with family as well.
When you go to the gym, are you locked in? Are you just like solo dolo, headphones on? Or are you doing the group fitness classes? I'm a team group fitness gal.
Love the team stuff too.
Yeah. What's your gym routine like, if anything?
I mean, like I said, I play soccer like 3 days out of the week. So that's 100% a team thing. So I think when I'm at the gym, I do like being by myself, blasting my music. But I like to keep myself on my toes. So like last week I did a hot yoga class with one of my best friends, and I've never done that. And that was so difficult. I just love the challenge of it all. Like, I'll go on the Peloton, you know. Those are ways that I just can just focus on the movements, and just that relaxes my mind. Honestly, you can call me crazy. I know I need to like chill out sometimes, but working out definitely helps me.
So you mentioned music and books. What are some books that you have read recently, and what's your like go-to genre of music when you're being active?
When I'm being active, so I'll start with the music choices. So I love all genres, honestly. I do think, though, I can't help it. Like, I work in sports. Like, I'm a huge hip-hop rap fan, to be honest. When I'm relaxing, though, like, SZA is on repeat, especially her newest album.
Love her.
Let's see. Talking about music, I'm so excited. I'm headed to Coachella, and I just bought my Beyonce tickets because I'm, like, the biggest Beyonce fan. So
at Levi's.
Yes, at Levi's. I also bought tickets to Chicago because I was like, I got to see her perform on July 1st and hopefully I can film her at Levi's.
I need to go with you. My family's from Chicago.
I'll be there. I just got my tickets. I'm a huge Beyonce fan. That's my number one artist for sure. Love her. Let's see what else. Bad Bunny. Can't wait to see Bad Bunny at Coachella. Just for the culture. Yes. Yes.
You can't say Bad Bunny with a Puerto Rican in the room and not get a response. So
that's true.
I love it.
Oh my gosh. And then I forgot what the other question was. I'm so sorry.
Books.
I distracted. My bad.
We almost had a party in here with Bad Bunny and Beyonce.
Honestly, great. That would be an amazing collab. Would love that. The books, I finished reading The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo recently and cried my eyes out. I love serious books. I do love suspense as well, but I feel like I'm a sensitive person. So if I see a movie or if I read a book that really resonates with me, like the waterworks will turn on. But I actually like that because I feel like it's a release for myself to just truly enjoy this person's story and the art behind it. So that book, I would say, for all my ladies and men, you know, go take a look at The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
I've heard so much about that. I see it everywhere. And now I need to go get that book. I'm reading Atomic Habits. I've been on nonfiction kick lately.
Yeah.
Better for worse, because I feel like it's like I'm always thinking, like you said, you can't really, it's tough to relax and like wind down. I feel the same way. Like, I'm always like, how can I improve myself? How can I be more productive? And I feel like that's definitely being a product of working in sports, right? And that like athletic mentality almost.
Yes.
But I love that you have, it sounds like you have a lot of different outlets that, you know, you spend your leisure time.
Yes, when it's not doing freelance, because like I said, I do love on my free time to still shoot and create, like just random things like, I really like these plants in my backyard. I'm gonna do like a 16-second reel of the breeze going through it and the sunlight hitting it. Like I said, in 2020, I was doing that, like challenging myself every week to do something short like that. So I do love that.
And how important are those outlets to have? Like, we all work in a creative industry that for some it is nonstop, especially in the college space, but in the professional space too, especially as the season just goes and goes and goes, if you continue through the playoffs. But how important is it to have outlets to be able to kind of step away from?
I think it's really important to have outlets to step away from, just because everyone needs a break. Like you said, like you're in the grind of it, and that can truly be mentally taxing, especially when you've started in late July. And like I said, I just stopped working late January. That's so long. So I truly do tell like my employees, like especially during this time, February, when everyone's on vacation, like take your time like for yourself, you know, because I feel like when you take that time to just be present in you, it recharges your creativity. Because it's definitely taxing to go day after day, week after week, not creating the same thing, but creating the same thing is what I'm trying to say. There are things that we have to do for partnerships that is very repetitive. But it is hard, like trying to be like, let me make the dopest edit right now, you know, to this hip hop song, this rap song. It's important to take a step back and just be present in what you're doing and be with family, obviously, and just taking a moment. And then when you're ready, maybe go to a different outlet and shoot. Like I said, go outside and shoot what you think is interesting. Maybe work for a different athlete or maybe shoot a different sport or a different event. I love doing that too.
So this question is for both of you. Where do you find inspiration to create? You just spoke about it, how, you know, not doing the same edit the same way. Yeah. And like, yeah, you're reading books, you're listening to music. What are some things that you look to? Or are you looking at other creatives in the same space, whether it's NFL, NBA, MLB, or college? Where are you finding the inspiration to become an even better creative?
I mean, what you just said too, like looking at what other, there's so many talented people on Instagram and social media just in general. And I try to look at people who do something very different than myself. So some of my favorite creators on Instagram would be Gibson Hazard, and he's into the VFX and that space. And just, I'm just like, wow, a 3D space. Like some people are crazy out here. My good friend, Andy Torres, who is another Latino in this business, we hired him to help with our playoff video to do the crazy VFX intro. Mm-hmm. Like,
I just think that's
so cool. And I was like, maybe one day I can do that. Maybe, but it just brings so much inspiration to myself to be like, okay, this is something completely different.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was hard to do in the moment, but really taking that step away, I think was where I found not necessarily inspiration, but I think rejuvenation, which led to inspiration, right? Mm-hmm. Which it's like, I think we as creatives don't really realize how much that can do for us, but it really helped some days. I think one of the other things that I like doing is going on Vimeo, and I would look at people's, like, I would just type in like demo reel. And to your point, Serena, people would have all of these like animation demo reels and like 3D. And I would just like study and watch. And if there was a moment that I liked, I would like note it down and favorite it and add it to like my collection of stuff that I could, you know, maybe I wouldn't use it today, but maybe I'd use it 2 months from now for a playoff spot or maybe a feature idea or something like that. And so I really spent a lot of time looking on Vimeo and like kind of watching some like really obscure stuff. Like I didn't want to watch other sports, pieces. I think maybe if I did, it would be like a Nike commercial or something like that. But that's really where I think I got a lot of my inspiration. And, you know, for me, I think I get a lot of inspiration too from coworkers, right? And just like bouncing ideas off one another. And like, I also kind of would always like gauge people's like response to it and see, like, for better or for worse, right? Like see how they would react, like physically react. And be like, oh, okay, that wasn't as good of an idea that I thought it would be. But I think there's something to be said about, you know, really leaning on your team and not just like being like a mole and just like, you know, in a dark space and not looking anywhere else but ahead of you. So I think that those are the places that I get inspiration. But I think one thing that I didn't realize early on in my career is that inspiration truly can come from anywhere. It can come from the book that I'm reading. It can come from me looking out the window at the lemon tree in my neighbor's, you know, yard, right? Like it can come from a walk, going to a coffee shop, like hearing a conversation and things like that. And so that's one thing that I'm still trying to remind myself of even now. when I'm, you know, I'm not creating at the same level as I was previously. But those are some of the things that I look to for inspiration.
100%. And like you said, like coworkers, we're all creatives. And, you know, they're your friends too. So
yeah,
let's say maybe it's not a bad idea, but maybe it's like, oh, well, what about this to make it just a little bit better? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's cool, bouncing off of ideas. And I think that's why social media is honestly amazing as well, because I'm connecting with different women from all different, you know, spaces. Like maybe they just shot New York Fashion Week, or maybe they're headed to the NBA weekend, this weekend. You know, I think that's so cool. And just listening and seeing the content that they're putting out, like, that inspires me 100%, especially when it's someone who like looks like me and has a similar background.
How important is it to have good, supportive coworkers, especially male coworkers, who make space and allow you to just show up 100% as who you are? As a woman, as a minority, is that important, or is that just, you know, us versus them kind of thing mentality?
Sometimes it is. If I'm keeping it 100, no, I'm just kidding.
I think that's a, of course you would, if I'm keeping it, definitely keep that in the edit. But I asked that question because a lot of times, and Corinne and I had this conversation with someone else, a lot of times there's maybe a misconception on what should be happening versus what's actually happening. And to break that down, for some, it's like, okay, I'm only going to grab all the women and we're going to be over here and it's us versus them. Instead of, hey, these are the people that we're working with them, and not against them kind of thing. And for males, we have to say this, male counterparts have to be better on all levels, being more respectful, making more room and space for people who may not look like them and people who look like them. And so to get, you know, back to the question is, how important is it to have supportive and good teammates that you work with?
I mean, I think it's super important. I see these people, honestly, for the past 7 years, like probably more than my family, right? Like we're working double overtime together. We're traveling to different states together. Like it's so important that we are one cohesive team. And I'm not saying like there are times where we're so close to each other sometimes where it's like, I need to take a step back.
Like, you know, it's like a little, family. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And there are those little tiffs too. But like at the end of the day, it's like, it's really cool to work with people that love to create and love what they do. And those are the type of people that I want to continue to work with. Those are the people that I want to hire, no matter what you look like. If you're passionate about this, like that's going to take you so far. And people are going to want to work with passionate people. I think you're right. I think there's still a long way for male counterparts, you know, in this sports industry to react. But just because it's still so new, you know. Like I remember early in my career, it being a little bit difficult coming into work just because it felt a little bit like a competitive and hostile environment. And that honestly didn't help me perform the way that I wanted to. You know, you want everyone to feel confident and secure in themselves so that they can be able to bring the next big idea to the table so that everybody looks good, you know, by putting people down or by making yourself seem like you're bigger than them. That doesn't help anybody. It just makes you look bad. I don't know if I could cuss on, or like a tool is what I was going to say, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
So it's really important that you have a great relationship with your coworkers so that you could do really cool things together, but also grow together. I think that's the most important thing. We all want to succeed. Like, let's do that together.
No, 100%. I think, you know, for me, it is essential to have, you know, not just good, supportive male colleagues, but same for women, right? Like I keep the same standard, you know, but I think because, you know, a lot of times, like I've mentioned before, I've had men that have been supervisors and they're the ones making the decisions about hiring and promotions and,
you know, like kind of hold the keys to my career in some sense. Like if I'm not in a supportive environment, like I gotta go, you know?
Yeah.
But the other part I think of that is, you know, as you were talking, I was reminded of a story at one of my previous jobs. And, you know, we were all unloading a bunch of gear from a shoot out of the back of the truck. And, you know, it's all the camera gear. And I could tell one of my coworkers who I was close with, like, was kind of like dancing in between of like, oh, should I help her? Like, should I not? Like, it looks heavy. It was like this awkward, like in between moment. And I could tell. And I was like, do you have something to say? Like, and we were close, like I said, so it wasn't like I was like coming at him. And he's like, well, I'm not sure if I like, do you want help? Or like, but I also don't want to be insulting to you. And I was like, I'll let you know if I need help. Mm-hmm. Like, thank you for asking, number one. And thank you for like looking out for me and also being aware. And I think that story is like a great example of a great supportive male colleague, right? Being honest and open about, hey, I'm not sure about how to handle this. Like, do you need help? And not like being like blatant about it. Like, let me grab that for you, ma'am. You know, like I've had that happen. I've had that happen to me before too. But I think that's one of the things that I would encourage, you know, men that like, if you're not sure about a situation or if like how I should handle it, like just step to the side and be like, yo, I don't mean any disrespect, but I'm just curious about this. Like, I wasn't sure, or how does this? And from that point on, the nice part was there are some days where like there'd be boxes that I, as a, you know, 5'3", very small woman, like couldn't handle by myself. Right. So then I'd be like, yo, someone help me grab this. But other times, like, I'm going to grab the stuff that I can. And if I can't, I'll let you know. So I feel like it's super important to have people in those spaces, and also have men like kind of not be afraid to ask questions and not ask them all the time in public in front of people, but like, you know, sometimes step to the side and like just ask an honest question. I think it'll help things move forward in the industry.
100%. Cause like at the end of the day, like I truly believe men in power, like even women too, like, and I might be naive or whatever, but I do think there's so many good people out there just trying to learn. And, you know, he asked you coming out of like, to me, that's like a sign of like respect. He's like, hey, I'm not trying to be like this, but do you need some help?
Yep.
I had like a comment, I think, I had a comment like this year, and I know this person means well, but he was like, oh yeah, like Serena's super talented for a woman. And it's like, oh, my friend. And like, we are close enough where I was like, you could have just stopped that talented.
Yeah.
And, you know, like by saying like for my gender or whatever, like that brings it a little bit down, you know? And because he didn't even like realize it, he just was like, you're absolutely right. Like, you know, I have a sister or like all these things. And I was like, I totally understand. Like, we're cool. I just, that one comment, you know, and the fact that he was apologetic and he understood and like, that was it. Like, that speaks volumes, I think, to the character of who he is as just a person, you know, because everybody makes mistakes. Even I do.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So Karina talked about your social presence and how it's amazing. How can people find you on social and some of your work that you're proud of?
Yeah. If you guys want, you can see, I try to post my work a lot more these days, but my Instagram is @SerenaSoriano_. Give me a shout out, DM, say hi. I love connecting with people. On TikTok, I'm pretty sure it's a TikTok that I made in 2020, so I haven't changed the name, but it's SarSar16, SarSarR16. Maybe just type in Serena Soriano. Hopefully that helps you guys too if you're looking for me on TikTok. But I post a lot of my favorite shots and my day-to-day life, so I think that's a cool platform too.
I love it. We follow her. She is amazing. Amazing. You won't regret it. Yeah, I think the only other thing is like someone else mentioned it on another call, like advice that their mom gave them. And I am curious if there's any advice that your mom always gave you growing up. For me, my mom always said, she said a lot of things, right? As most moms do. But one of the things that she always instilled in me is that if there's a small crack in the door or the window's open just a little bit and you have the opportunity to peek in and look at that opportunity. And it's metaphorical in a sense, but I think of my mom often when I run into moments where I may be feeling insecure about acquiring a new skill or doing something new. So I'm curious, has your mom or any, special person in your life that's a woman given you advice that really resonates with you that you keep close to your heart?
Yeah, I mean, I come from Mexican culture, so the woman is the matriarch of our culture, right? So I have to shout out my grandmas as well. Mm-hmm. Just by seeing everything that they've gone through, like in life, and then having, all these children and still finding a way for their children to be happy and be put first and for them to be fed. Like, I feel like in my family, like it's actions and not necessarily words that have always inspired me. Even my mom, she's so smart. And she was one of the few Latina, in finance spaces, So like seeing all the hard work that she did and making sure that I was at soccer practice, making sure that I had food at the table, like knowing that I'm like, I can do anything, because my mom is super mom. My grandma is super grandma. Like if they could do it, like, I know like this is easy for me. I don't even have kids yet. So I'm like, I could totally do this. So I'd shout out to my mom and my mama and my Nana. I love them so much. And they have always told me and shown me to be a strong woman and to never let what anyone else thinks of me deter me from my dreams. So shout out to my mom for always believing in me.
And what's some advice that you would give to other women who are interested or who are early on in their journey in this creative industry?
I think the number one piece of advice is like what actually just said. It is never let the opinions of others deter you from your passion or your dreams. Don't let people put you in a box. If this is what you want to do, go for it. And you have to believe in yourself because there's going to be naysayers and there's going to be people that think this and that of you. But at the end of the day, if you're authentic to who you are, you look in the mirror and you're like, yes, I'm a badass woman and this is what I want to do. You can do it. You just have to believe in yourself and put in the hours working on the craft and what you want to do, because that's important to do.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you shared it with a friend or a coworker and leave us a 5-star rating so other people will be able to find us as well. And don't forget to subscribe so that you're the first person to catch each new episode. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.